good. You get it. A lot of people don't. I'm surprised. But it's good. Let's see.
Aside from what happened, how did these traditions get lost? Aside from the killings of the people in India?
Yes, it's a very good question. For anything to be really effective in a society, because here we're talking about societal change, it's not just personal preference, societal change. In order for anything to be effective in society, there has to be authority and power to exert that kind of influence for it to happen. Okay? How did people forget? They forget because one thing, they are attracted to something else, and they start to repel that which they have, okay? So when you have powerful people, when you have the government, for instance, that is secular, okay? And it keeps talking about bad Muslims and Islam being backward, and the mullahs and the sheikhs are being very corrupt, and people understanding everything wrongly. So when you have this direct influence by the people in power, the people will start changing their minds. They're repelled by it. Then, when they say, for example, you need to look to the West because they're enlightened, they're liberal, they're democratic, they have this, they have laws, so you get attracted to it. Okay? Understand that Islam, like I said before, for over 1,000 years, there's never been a problem of civilization. We entered to every civilization, east, west, north, and south, right? And we took the best of it. We took the best from the fire worshippers, for Allah's sake. You know, if we can take the best from fire worshippers, why can't we take the best from those ones who love Hazrat Isa so much they decide to call him Lord? You understand? So there's no problems with taking from earlier civilizations and to make it Islamic. But that's not it. What we did before was there was a filtration process, again by the people in power, by the governments, by the teachers, the educators, by the people who control money, by the people who control people's minds in terms of art, architecture, all these kinds of things, okay? And they come together under the auspices of the Khalifa, and they're able to filter things together. They say, okay, this is good, this is not good. The Turks, they came to the Byzantine area. Everything is completely Byzantine. There's some things they took, a lot of things they didn't. There's no problem with that. But the people who do the filtering, they are responsible. They're godly people. And their concern is not to please Russia or America. Their concern is not to make the dollars, you understand? Their concern is the fear of Allah. So you have responsible people. Put all that away. Now you have a regime change. Okay? Change the management in a company. Let's say the managers change, and the managers say, from now on, this is how you're going to pray, this is how you're going to do things, this is how you're not going to do things. People at the bottom, they don't have too much power, they just have to go along with it, you understand? After several generations, there are people who say, this is wrong, this is messed up, but after a certain while, people just sort of accept because they want to go on with life. They want to go on with life. Then what's the big deal, they say, whether I'm wearing shalwar or I'm wearing pants? It's no big deal. I can give it up. What's the big deal between wearing a turban and not wearing and wearing a baseball cap? There's no big deal. But it was a big deal for a while, but we're convinced that it's not a big deal anymore. And then we try to find arguments anywhere just to support our way of doing things. People can do that. You can find in the Quran arguments to support blowing up people. You can find in the Quran arguments to support forgiving people. Correct? Huh. So now Quran. There are 50 people here. 50 people will have 50 different interpretations of the Quran. Allah never sent the Quran alone, which is why He sent it with a prophet. And the prophet is going to say, alayhi salatu wassalam, understand the Quran like this, not like this. Like this, not like this. Then what happened? They take away this messenger, you understand, the interpreters, those one is going to interpret the religion properly. They replace that, they take that out. They put others in that will follow their ideology. And they say, it doesn't matter whether you pray 8 rakats or 20 rakats. It's not that it doesn't matter. They put in a new regime that says, you have to pray 8 rakats. You pray 20, you're going to go to hell. You cannot say Allah, 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 Allah. You cannot make zikr. There's so much arguments against that, of course. But they have the power. What can we do? Correct? You say it is haram to do that. What can you do? So many Muslim countries, you cannot even sit, you know this, to have a talk like this. Correct or no? Police are going to come. They're going to arrest you. They're going to say, do you have a license to speak? Correct? In the oldest university city in the whole world, Kahira, you cannot have these kinds of talks unless it is sanctioned by the government. Same thing in China, same thing in Malaysia, same thing in a lot of Muslim countries now. So it's state controlled. The Ahli Sunnah Imams, they are notorious for going against the state. The former Ashab Imams, they were all martyred. Imam Abu Hanifa, he was tortured until he died because he refused to occupy the highest legal position in the country. Like he refused to be the highest ranking Supreme Court justice because he says, if I do that, then I have to follow what you say because you're paying me. He says, no, I will not do that. So yes, there is a system of check and balances in the 1400 years of Islam also. So that's how we start losing it. And then there is this drive, look at it clearly, in the 1920s. You had the First World War. What happened before that? Muslim countries, 1700s, 1800s, they start being colonized. You get a lot of that influence there. Okay? Then you enter into First World War. Complete disaster. Almost a whole generation of young men destroyed. You understand? Then you enter into the period where the Khilafat fell. It's another big disaster now, for the Muslims I'm talking about. Then Second World War came. What happened before the First World War? So many countries are still under colonial rule. Second World War, like this or like that, most Muslim countries gained their independence. When they gained their independence, those people who say, now we are independent from Western rule, what did they go for? Did they go for the rule that was with them for over 1,000 years? No. They said, we want a new rule. Our new rules that we make up by ourselves, most of them, they're secularists. They become very secular. What do they become? Vassal states, satellite states. Again, saying that we are against British rule, but every British colonial country today that was ruled by Britain is part of a group of countries called the Commonwealth. That they still share close ties in trade, in politics, in everything. So there is still that system of colonialism, just not called that anymore. The new rulers came, completely become secular. Not secular, so many countries, they become very anti-Islamic and anti-tradition. They will use that Islam that they say, we want this, and the Muslim leaders, who will listen to them? That's what they like. So what do the awam, they do? They get pretty confused. Life has to start. It's not so easy, you know, after the Second World War. And then that continues up till today. So it's a little bit better. Of course, I'm missing out so many other things. I'm not putting in the undue pressure also from the West or from Russia that meddles into the affairs of these Muslim countries. That even if they say, we want you to be democratic, they say, okay, fine, let's practice democracy. Oh, we don't like you to choose this leader, although it was voted democratically. We want you to choose this leader because this goes with our ideology. So it's a big mess. Muslims are not able to stand up because they're scattered. 73 nations is scattered. We used to be together under a Khalifa. Together is not by just saying, oh, we must be together, we must be united. It's just empty words, you understand? You cannot be together unless there's organization. Unless that organization is also given power and influence. So we don't have that. But this is where the spirituality kicks in also, because Prophet ﷺ has told us certain things that are going to happen towards these days, end of days. Then there are certain spots. What do they concentrate on in terms of religion? Rituals. It's not really answering your questions about who am I? Why am I doing this? Why do I keep doing this? How do I make my heart to become a little bit easier? How real life questions, you understand? They say, no. Just learn, recite the Quran, read some du'as, everything will be okay. Just pray. Pray, make du'a, everything pray, everything will be okay. So we have proliferation of masjids, but they're empty. And you have imams that only know how to lead prayers, but they can't address to the jama'at. Especially the jama'at that born here, grew up here. Because they have their own special set of challenges, no? So people then forget. They cannot make that connection between religion and their life anymore. It becomes disparate. No? So you have certain places where if your heart is looking, Allah will pull you to certain places. If you are looking, if you're asking, if you're trying to learn. What is Sufism? What is tariqat? What is tasawuf? Did the Prophet teach this? Yes, he did. To very selected sahabis. Those who want, they say, go to you. What is it? It is to know Allah. That is the reason of our creation. To know Allah and to worship Allah. How do we do that? The Prophet saying, the one who knows himself, he knows his Lord. Not to be confused, this is when people cannot, when they are lazy, when they are not trying to understand, they jump to conclusions and say, oh, haram, you see, it means you and Lord the same, but it's not, you understand? Meaning the one who knows himself, he knows his limitations, he knows that he's a servant to Allah, then he knows the greatness of his Lord. So, and the Prophet said this, there has to be truth in it. So this is what tariqat is for us, trying to know ourselves through living in jamaat, understanding our nafs, ibadat, zikr, tafakkur. That's how it is. Sohbat. This is sohbat. I don't have any books around me. You understand? Because now you have to learn to read this book. Everything is there. Allah will send the answers. It's necessary. That time you can speak from one heart to another heart. Completely different from scholars. Yeah. That's how it is. Inshallah. Hey. Yeah, Jamal.